In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a sinner. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have respect, O Lord, unto thy covenant. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Arise, O God, and plead with thine own cause, and forget not the voice of thine enemies. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against us like the sheep of the pasture? Amen.
Amen.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give unto us the increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain that which thou hast promised. Make us to love that which thou hast commanded. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And please be seated. The confessional reading for this morning, continuing with the eighth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Therefore, in order to avoid such habitual sinning with the tongue, we should note that no one has the authority publicly to judge or reprove his neighbor, not even if he has seen him commit a sin, unless he has specifically been given the authority to judge and reprove. For there is indeed a great difference between these two. Judging a sin and knowing about a sin. Knowing about a sin does not involve the right to sit in judgment on it. I am, of course, able to see and hear my neighbor sinning, but I have no business reporting it all around town. If I poke my nose in and judge and condemn, then I fall into a worse sin than his. So when you get to know about a sin, let your ear become its grave and shovel the dirt on top of it, and do not resurrect it until the day you are appointed judge, and thus have the duty to administer punishment by virtue of your office. Those are to be labeled scandal mongers and slanderers who are not content with what they know but rush forward to pass sentence. When they have heard some tidbit, they carry it to every corner, relishing and delighting in rolling in someone else's dirt like pigs that wallow in the muck and the root around in with their snouts. Okay. By setting themselves up as judges, they are simply usurping God's judgment and office, pronouncing verdict and sentence in the most severe judgmental manner. For no judge can go further to or reprove more sharply than to pronounce someone a thief, a murderer, or a traitor. Therefore, whoever presumes to say such things about his neighbor invades the authority of the head of state and the magistrates. For although you do not wield the sword, yet you nevertheless pay your poisonous tongue to the disgrace and injury of your neighbor. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein you dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances and walk therein. For I am the Lord your God. And you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So far the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, Galatians chapter 3. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, then it is no more the promise of God, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Well, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded that all are under sin, and that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So far, the epistle lesson. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10. And Jesus turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets, kings, have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, but have not heard them. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And then Jesus said unto him, Thou hast answered right, do this, and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was come at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will pay you. Now which of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor of him that fell among the thieves? And then he said, Well, he that showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. So far, the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets, and I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn, 657. Please be seated. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you have seen. Please be seated. These words were spoken by Christ to his disciples because he saw and understood and believed in Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. But these words were also heard by a self-righteous lawyer, one who was well-versed in the law of Moses and in the tradition of the rabbis. And he established his own righteousness, which is of the law, that is, by what he did. We're told he stood up and tempted Christ to see whether his views as a matter of obtaining eternal life were in accord to the teachings of Moses, hoping to convict him of some unorthodox statement. But Jesus turns the situation around, and he asks the young lawyer, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" Now, this is not to be understood as though it were possible to keep the law perfectly and merit eternal life. This is not what Christ was saying. Christ coming to earth, his entire work of redemption, would have been unnecessary if one, by their own efforts, by keeping the law, could gain merit and eternal life. But Jesus wanted to lead the lawyer to a true understanding and a true knowledge of his own sinful condition that can be done only by the law, by preaching the law. In other words, an honest effort to show this young lawyer that he was wrong if he totally depended upon what he did for his salvation, which is totally impossible. Now, St. Paul says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, Christ came into this world to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous. Only sinners convicted of their sin by the law can and will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For this is the purpose of the preaching of the law. And that's why the preaching of the law is so necessary. One has to convict one of their sins before the grace of God will be effective. The lawyer was blind with regards to his trying to establish his own righteousness before God. He seems to have a very good knowledge of the law, because when he answered Christ's question, what is written in the law, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." In other words, he was summing up the context of the law. And then Jesus said, "Good, this do, and you shall live." But there was evidently something in the tone of Jesus that made him feel perhaps a little uneasy, but even guilty. In the presence of God, those words which he had repeated so often now had a far deeper meaning. They were now directed to him, the thoughts and the intents of his heart. We read, "But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Well, who is my neighbor?'" Apparently, he had no problem of thinking that he was keeping the first table of the law, serving God. He kept the Sabbath. He was not a blasphemer. He kept all the feasts. He never neglected his formal prayers. But, I don't know, his neighbor, he feels a little uneasy with that one. The answer Jesus gives is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which not only shows who is our neighbor, but what neighborly love is, shows itself in our daily living. In his divine wisdom, Jesus draws a picture so clear that all are able to grasp the lesson that he intends to teach by this parable. He starts out with a certain man, nobody in particular, but just a certain man, anyone. Nothing else about him is mentioned. Someone who was in need of help. And he went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, which is about 21 miles, no big deal. And it was known for thieves and robbers. The traveler most likely was a Jew, and he'd fallen among the thieves who had robbed him and left him half dead, and if he had been left alone, he would surely have died. And by chance, there came down that road a priest, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And I'm sure this priest who knew the law probably came up with all sorts of various excuses not to go and attend to that poor man. The next man comes along, he's a Levite. He did the same thing. But now comes along a Samaritan, belonging to a race despised and hated by the Jews. He sees that man, and he does the best to help. He is filled with compassion. Perhaps he has even exposed himself to the dangers of the same result as that man lying in the ditch. And after taking care of the wounds, he put him on his own beast, took him to an inn, and provided lodging until he had recovered. All these acts were clearly done to an unknown stranger without any thought of reward. And now Jesus asks his lawyer, which now of these three do you think was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Well, the lawyer himself had to answer his own question, he that showed mercy. This then is the chief purpose of the law, to lead one to a knowledge of their sinful state, to make one feel the need for a Savior. And to this end, let us see in the Good Samaritan the type of Christ who came to earth and took care of us as well. Because we, the whole human race, have fallen among robbers and murderers, Saint Satan and his angels. By them we have been robbed. We have been robbed of our created righteousness. By them we have been wounded and made helpless. God, in his infinite love and mercy, saw us lying in our own blood. We should have perished forever had not Christ saved us by giving himself for us, redeeming us with his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Whoever has realized this has seen themselves wounded and helpless through Satan's power, and has then experienced Christ's redeeming love, mercy, has also learned to love God and his neighbor as well. You see, a true believer will try to follow the example of Christ in his love to every single sinner. May God grant this to each of us. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen. And since the offering has been taken, we'll continue with the offering hymn, which is pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them, give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us experience this morning thy love at the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. And please rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
The very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith of life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Savior Jesus Christ, so with you into death for our sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. See everybody on a beautiful Minnesota morning.